Arizona News Radio.
I'm a public health official. I'm not a lawyer.
State Health Director Will Humble not accepting applications today for medical marijuana dispensaries, even though the new law was supposed to take effect. A lawyer for some of the representatives was concerned.
If the state was going to file a lawsuit, we thought it would have been appropriate in November.
Supporters of Senate President Russell Pierce planning to challenge a possible recall election. Opponents have filed signatures with the Secretary of State's office.
They haven't disclosed where the source of funding comes from. And that's a complaint that we do have.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies apprehend two illegal aliens following a high-speed chase of a suspected smuggling vehicle in Casa Grande.
Both individuals admitted that they were in the United States illegally from Mexico. They refused to tell the deputy where the other individuals were.
The Wallow Fire is growing 6,700 acres near Alpine.
This mixed conifer forest is big fuel, and there's hardwood litter on the forest.
The fire in southeast Arizona, 75,000 acres. George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Morton Water Softening Salt. 19th Avenue in Glendale has an accident. You're going to find some oil on the road eastbound on the 10 at Washington Street. And we also have a disabled vehicle eastbound on the Maricopa right at the US 60 in the ramp that leads to the eastbound Superstition. Now, you can lose hundreds of dollars operating a home on hard water. System Saver 2 brings soft water savings to your energy and water bills. Find System Saver 2 at a new low price at Walmart and other retailers.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. It looks like we're bringing in the month of June right about normal, right around that century mark. We're going to be a little cooler tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy down here, even windy up north with the passage of another one of those fronts, 96 for the valley high. But then Friday into the weekend, we're back near 100. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 92 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and winter breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome to Answers from SCF Arizona, the state's largest provider of workers' compensation insurance. I'm Michael Dixon. Here's a very good question we get all the time at SCF Arizona. It has to do with flexibility. For instance, my business is very small, or my business is very specialized, or my business is in a town that barely has phone service. How can SCF Arizona make sure I don't get lost in the shuffle? Well, the truth is, SCF Arizona is dedicated to providing specialized attention to every business, large and small. We're from Arizona, so whether you're in Ajo or Ash Fork, Phoenix or Flagstaff, Yuma or Yavapai County, we're the experts in what Arizona businesses need to protect themselves and keep their employees safe on the job. For answers to your questions, visit our website at scfaz.com. That's scfaz.com. SCF Arizona, at work for you.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, good afternoon. It's Wednesday, and that means we're here at Legalese from 4 to 5, preceding the Lou Dobbs Show. And every week we try to bring to you different issues of interest in the state from a legal perspective. This week we're going to be talking about, I think, an interesting subject, the employer sanction law. Been a lot in the news about it, and we're going to have some interesting guests on to talk about it. We're going to have Representative Jack Kavanaugh from Fountain Hills, I believe, who will be on the line or is on the line. In studio, we have here Garrick Taylor, who's a spokesman for the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. And we'll be talking shortly with someone from the Department of Homeland Security's Public Affairs Department, Public Affairs Officer for the United States Citizen Immigration Services, which is a division of Homeland Security, in terms of discussion about E-Verify and some of the issues relating to that. Let me start out, before we speak with our guests, to set the stage for this. The Arizona Legal Arizona Workers Act, commonly called the Employer Sanction Law, was passed by a Republican-dominated legislature and signed by then-Governor Janet Napolitano, of course, who was a Democrat and now head of Homeland Security. Arizona's 2008 employer sanctions law gives authorities the power to close down businesses found to be knowingly hiring illegal workers. Since the Act has become law. Sheriff Joe has raided apparently some 30 businesses or more under the employer sanctions law. Hundreds of people were arrested for forgery and ID theft. And from my review of this, and we'll consult with our guests about this later, apparently only three companies have actually been cited that I know of. There is one pending prosecution, I believe, that was started in the Andrew Thomas era, but I don't believe has come to fruition. And there may have been one company that may have pled to some offense of a minor nature. More than 33,000 Arizona businesses have signed up for the program, the highest number of any state. Various states have their own programs, which we'll be talking about as well. And this issue came to a head recently because of a recent Supreme Court ruling that just came down shortly, probably about a week ago, I guess. And by a 5-3 vote, the United States Supreme Court rejected the argument that only the feds can enforce immigration laws. The decision dealt only with a narrow question of whether states have a right to sanction businesses that knowingly hire illegal immigrants and focused primarily on preemption issues. So one of the questions we're going to have for our guest today is just what is the effect of that case on the law, and why isn't the law being enforced fully, or will it be now that the law has been sustained by the United States Supreme Court? Do we have Representative Kavanaugh with us on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Welcome to our show, Mr. Kavanaugh. Pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
And let's talk about this this law. You were, I think, primarily one of the people responsible for the enactment of this law. Is that accurate?
Well, big supporter of the law, absolutely.
And you're originally like me from New York, I think, right?
My accent often gives me away, yes.
Yeah, and when did you move to Arizona?
1993.
And as I understand it, you live in Fountain Hills, is that right?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about what prompted this bill initially, and why it was important, in your opinion, for it to become law.
Well, illegal immigration is a major problem in the state of Arizona. I mean, it's a problem nationwide, but Arizona, by virtue of its geography, is in the crosshairs. Not only are we a destination, we're a major pass-through state, so we have a lot of negative impact from illegal immigration in terms of crime, in terms of increased costs for health care and other government services, depression of wages, and what have you. So consequently, the legislature has been attempting to tackle the problem of illegal immigration, particularly in view of the fact that the federal government, and I'll be bipartisan here, this applies almost as much to Bush as Obama, isn't really aggressively enforcing immigration laws. So we do what we can. And you say, why are illegals coming here? Well, obviously jobs are a big draw. So if you take away the jobs, you take away part of the lure. You weaken the magnet that draws them here. And we've had a number of laws designed to take away jobs. The employer sanctions law is the premier law. I just had a law that restricts street corner labor pickup, which is another part of that overall process. So in the nutshell, illegal immigration is a problem, and one of the things that promote it or increase it is jobs, and we're trying to get jobs out of the legal venue.
Speaking with us by phone is Representative Jack Kavanaugh from the Fountain Hills area. We have with us in studio Garrick Taylor, Representative Kavanaugh from the Arizona Chamber of Commerce with us. I don't know if you know him, but he's here on behalf of the chamber. And, of course, the there was a Chamber of Commerce, the National Chamber of Commerce, that was a party to this Whiting decision. And so we've asked him to join us here. I suspect he probably has a different point of view than you do. So let's hear from him in terms of, Garrick, you just heard from the representative as to the reasons why he was in favor and was actively involved in making this a law. We're talking about the employer sanctions law, commonly known as the employer sanctions law. What's the Chamber of Commerce here in Arizona's take on what the representative stated?
Well, we certainly don't doubt his motives, and we understand the need to address the issue of illegal immigration at a legislative level. When the decision came down from the Supreme Court, I can't say we were exactly clicking our heels over it, but at the same time, it's not exactly a shocker, and its effect here on Arizona employers is probably somewhat muted by the fact that Arizona employers have been living under this law for over 3 years now. So it's not a real shock to the system, if you will. The practical mandate in the law to use E-Verify, employers have been interacting with that system for some time to verify the eligibility, the hiring eligibility of their employees.
Well, if I may, let's focus, though, and Representative Kavanaugh, feel free to speak whenever you feel like it, but let's focus on how this affects business, both of you. Is this decision going to affect Arizona business in a negative way?
Well, it depends on which businesses. If you're talking about businesses that attempt to gain unfair advantage over their competitors who obey the law by hiring illegals, which, you know, off the books or reduced wages and what have you, it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them badly. On the other hand, businesses that obey the law because they're just decent people, which is the overwhelming majority of businesses, they're going to be helped because their competitors aren't going to be able to undercut them with cheap illegal labor.
How do you see that, Garrick? We're talking with Garrick Taylor from the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Kavanaugh's premise there. When you have a business, and especially in the medium to large size, using E-Verify, it's not that big of a hoop to jump through, especially anybody that has any sort of human resources capability. It's probably a little bit more burden on your mom and pops, though. It's one more issue for them to deal with. The actual interaction with the system, though, has been pretty good so far.
So why was the Chamber of Commerce opposed to this type of law?
It comes down to their concern about having one set of laws for Arizona employers that differ from 49 other states. So businesses would prefer to come into the economic environment where there's some measure of certainty, and that includes in the area of hiring as well. And we would prefer that the, and this is no shock to Mr. Kavanaugh, that the legislature take a time out on immigration laws at the state level for some time now. We know where we...
Is that going to happen, Representative Kavanaugh?
Oh, we did. This session, six bills didn't get passed. In fact, the timeout is still in effect, and I think it ends next week.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to be gearing up to bring those laws in next session.
Well, let's turn our focus just for a minute to the actual case. I don't know how familiar. Representative Kavanaugh, are you a lawyer?
No.
Okay.
But I play one at the legislature.
You play one at the legislature. You're a member of the Amateur Bar Association, the ABA.
Exactly.
Well, let me just ask you, we've got about 2 minutes left, but I want to get both of your take on this, and then we're going to try to get the lady from the public affairs officer, that is, of the Citizen Immigration Services on the line to discuss this E-Verify. But basically, this decision, as I read it, it was very narrowly pivoted on language specifically in the federal statute that dealt with, that is the Immigration Reform and Control Act, that actually has an exception for licenses being exempt from the purview of the act, or a simple, quick way of saying it, I suppose. It's very complicated. But and so how important is this case going to be, really, to what happens from here on in, if you can both quickly comment?
Well, I'll go first. In Arizona, again, we know where we stand on this. The Legal Arizona Workers Act is the law of the land, and it's constitutional. I would say that it's going to have more effect outside the borders of Arizona. You might see other states look at the court's decision as a open door to craft their own state-level immigration law, at least in the area of worker eligibility. I don't think that states want to overread it too much, that they can delve into every facet of immigration.
What about you, Representative Kavanaugh? How do you see that?
Yeah, well, we knew we were going to win this case in the beginning because there is a very clear carve-out for licensing in the federal immigration law. But a more important result of this decision is buried in it. On page 21 or 22, Chief Justice Roberts clearly states that it's the tradition of the Supreme Court to have a very high threshold for overriding states with respect to immigration enforcement. And unless there's a specific prohibition, he hinted that it's okay for states to do this. And I think he was kind of winking and nodding that 1070 will probably be okay, or at least all but perhaps the section that makes it a crime, an Arizona crime, to be in the country illegally.
That may be an expansive reading of the case. I don't know. It's an interesting point you raise. We're going to come back to that point and follow up on that, by the way, as well as the meaning of the exception of the carve-out, this licensing issue, if you can stay with us. And This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we'll be back in just a few minutes after these brief words.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Are you a real estate sales professional? If you're earning less selling real estate than you wish you were, and you're willing to admit that you need help, Fearless Agent Training is for you, and there is no cost to you if you live here in the Phoenix area. That's right. What others around the country pay thousands for is free. Now, Fearless Agent Training is free, and there is no catch. What have you got to lose? Go to fearlessagent.com and call me today. Fearlessagent.com.
Coming up this week on The Kevin Trudeau Show.
I'm Kevin Trudeau, The Kevin Trudeau Show, everything they don't want you to know about. This week, I have headlines you don't hear about in the mainstream media, plus natural cures for better health and ways to have, be, or do everything and anything you ever will desire. Improve your physical, financial, and mental health today, The Kevin Trudeau Show.
Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. on News Talk Radio 1100, KFNX.
When you brush your teeth, do your gums bleed? They shouldn't. That's gingivitis or inflammation of the gums. Most people have it, but it's totally preventable. Vanderskef Bichel Dental Care offers the fix for your bleeding gums. Laser-assisted cleaning. Vanderskef Bichel Dental Care specializes in prevention. Enough already with the bleeding gums and bad breath. New patients call now to receive complimentary laser treatment with your first cleaning. Call 480-994-5225. That's 480-994-5225.
This is Dennis Wolinchek. We're here on Legalese, 4 to 5, every Wednesday. And today we're addressing the employer sanctions law issue. And we've got with us in studio Garrick Taylor from the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. And we've got, by telephone, Representative Jeff Kavanaugh, who was one of the principal proponents of the law and is very active in these immigration issues. And with us again by phone from out of state is Mary Anna Gitomer, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Are you with us, Mary Anna?
I am here.
Am I pronouncing your name wrong?
It's Gitomer.
Gitomer, okay. Sorry about that. I thought so.
That's okay.
And you are with the U.S. Citizens Immigration Services, and one of the things that we're going to be talking about in just a minute is the E-Verify system and what that's all about.
Okay.
And we're going to get the take of Representative Kavanaugh and Garrick Taylor on that and the employment of it. But before we get there, if you can just stay with us, let me just ask both Mr. Taylor, Garrick Taylor here, as well as Representative Kavanaugh, in terms of moving on from the actual decision itself, which, again, deals with or pivots, I think, on the meaning of license and how broad license was. And I think a lot of the case tended to delve this Whiting case that just came out, basically upholding the Arizona law, basically delves on the issue of licensing and what that means. And, of course, the chamber argued one interpretation of licensing that was probably more restrictive. Obviously, and the court wanted to go. Chief Justice Roberts finding that the term is pretty broad. Before we took a break, Representative Kavanaugh was discussing maybe the possible implications of some of the wording in the case. I don't know if I fully agree with you that this case is a green light for 1070, Representative Kavanaugh, but I understand your point that there's some language in the case that could give you some hope on that. But let's talk now, if we can, moving on to this E-Verify system and ask both Representative Kavanaugh as well as Garrick Taylor. Again, this law that we have in place and now that's been upheld, is it really working and how does it work? First of all, starting with the E-Verify system, is this working before we turn to Mary Anna Gitomer, who's with the Citizens Immigration Services?
I think it's working. You got two camps. You have one that say, well, the Legal Arizona Workers Act really isn't doing much. As you said at the outset of the program, there hasn't exactly been an avalanche of prosecutions under the law. we would say, well, that probably has to do with the fact there's been such high compliance. You know, the potential penalties that an employer could face for illegal hiring are pretty severe, including on a second offense, losing your ability to operate in Arizona. So, as you said, there's a high use of E-Verify in Arizona.
How accurate is do you feel that E-Verify is? I mean, some issue as to whether it's accurate. I know there's statements from your boss, basically, in the paper that I saw at some point talking about possibilities that maybe it's not that accurate.
Well, you know, it's the best system we have on the books right now. However, and Marianne can touch on this in her segment, it does not have a biometric component to it. So the ability to confirm that the person presenting Social Security number to an employer is indeed who he or she says he is, that's a tougher determination to make.
Well, let me turn to Representative Kavanaugh quickly. What about that? Is that something that the legislature is going to take a look at to maybe shore up some of these loose areas?
Well, that's something the federal government has to do because it's a federal program. I would say this. The lack of biometrics is a big problem, but I'm still happy that we have it because it's better than nothing and it does a pretty good job. But I think right now the federal government could greatly reduce the lack of biometric problem by simply allowing no match letters on Social Security numbers or dual submission instances.
What does that mean for our listeners? What are we talking about there?
Well, you have situations where a Social Security winds up collecting money from the same person with the same number in two different parts of the country at the same time. Clearly, one of them is an identity thief who's probably an illegal alien who's
right.
working here. Now, they send the letter to the employer saying, to both employers saying, something's wrong, straighten it out. They don't send a letter to ICE to say, have somebody drop by there and check it out. And if they did that, you'd have less people using other people's names and Social Security numbers, which E-Verify generally can't pick up.
Okay, let's turn now to Marianna Gittimer, who's speaking on behalf of the U.S. Citizens Immigration Service, which is the division of the Department of Homeland Security. What do you say to those criticisms, basically, of the E-Verify system, Marianna?
Well, you know, the system does have, I'm not sure what you mean by biometrics, but...
Well, let's stop for a second. What do you guys mean by that? What are you referring to?
A picture, a thumbprint. A picture would be great.
Well, we do have a picture, actually. The documents that are submitted through E-Verify, either the green card that the person has or the employment authorization card that they submit, their picture is run against the database of Homeland Security.
So there is a
component there for the pictures to be verified and the identity to be verified.
Is it a requirement that the applicant submit a picture to go through E-Verify?
Well, they have to submit, if they're a non-citizen, they have to submit an immigration document that has a picture.
What kind of immigration document has a picture?
Well, the green card. Everybody who has a green card that has a picture. And an authorization to work document has a picture. So those are the two main documents that people have that shows that they are authorized to work.
Can they submit a non-picture card?
They can submit other documents for ID, but for the pictures, let me just get back to the pictures here. They can submit those two documents, plus now the U.S. passports as well. We have access to the database to be sure that a person who submits a U.S. passport is the person, legitimate person, owner of that passport.
Can I just get one clarification? Can a person who's applying through E-Verify get approved by submitting documents that don't have pictures?
Well, I don't think so, because if they're non-citizens, they have to provide an immigration document, and every immigration document has a picture.
But supposing I'm a non-citizen who's pretending to be a U.S. citizen, and I submit a birth certificate
that has
no picture.
Well, the birth certificate, that's not going to do it. You have to submit an additional document
show. What?
It could be a driver's license.
Are any of the additional documents without photographs?
It's possible. You know, I'd have to look at the list of documents
allowed. If I were illegal stealing somebody else's identity, I just have to submit two documents without a picture, There is no biometric check then. And since I know I'm not that person, I'd be a lunatic to submit a picture knowing that it'll be checked.
Well, but, you know, I think if you're going to submit a fraudulent immigration document, that document's going to have a picture.
All right, let me ask you this. We have just a couple of minutes before the break, but first of all, let's pick up that point. If an illegal uses a stolen ID to get hired, what is the employer's liability for that?
Under the state law or federal? Under the state law, we have to prove that the employer knew he was hiring somebody illegally.
Isn't it almost impossible to make that standard, which is probably why nobody's really been seriously prosecuted under this law?
Probably because there's no subpoena power. We could never get subpoena power because we couldn't get enough votes because some people in the business community vigorously lobbied against it. And without subpoena power, as a lawyer, you know that it's tough to build a case.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mariana, any final comments? But you have about less than a minute before we go in terms of how the system ensures that it's operated properly.
Well, you know, we're continuing to provide enhancements to the system to make sure that it does continue to work. And one of the things we're doing is the pictures, like I said, we're adding the U.S. passport. We now have an agreement with one of the states that we will be able to access DMV records to be sure that the driver's licenses that are submitted are legitimate.
All right. Well, we have to take a break now. If you can hang on with us, that's great. If not, thank you for appearing on our show. This is Dennis Wolinchek, Legalese. We'll be back in just a moment after these brief messages.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Listen to me from 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon on the 50,000-watt Voice of the Valley, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100, Phoenix.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Congressman Anthony Weiner says it's all a hoax. The New York Democrat flatly denies he sent a lewd photo of a man in his underwear to a young woman in Seattle.
Have I called the cops or the FBI because someone sent spam? No. However, I did get a law firm who specializes in these things, who specializes in white-collar crime. I've got someone who is, and they're going to get someone who's an internet security expert to try to get to the bottom of how we secure my accounts.
He tells CNN he can't be totally sure the photo isn't of him. President Obama met with House Republicans today to talk about raising the national debt ceiling. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has said he can keep the country out of default until August 2nd. Hurricane season begins today. Forecasters predict there will be 16 named storms and 9 hurricanes. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio.
I'm a public health official. I'm not a lawyer.
State Health Director Will Humble not accepting applications today for medical marijuana dispensaries, even though the new law was supposed to take effect. Our lawyer for some of the representatives was concerned.
If the state was going to file a lawsuit, we thought it would have been appropriate in November.
Supporters of Senate President Russell Pierce planning to challenge a possible recall election. Opponents have filed signatures with the Secretary of State's office.
They haven't disclosed where the source of funding comes from, and that's a complaint that we do have.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies apprehend 2 illegal aliens following a high-speed chase of a suspected smuggling vehicle in Casa Grande.
Both individuals admitted that they were in the United States illegally from Mexico. They refused to tell the deputy where the other individuals were.
The Wallow Fire is growing 6,700 acres near Alpine.
This mixed conifer forest is big fuel, and there's hardwood litter on the forest.
The fire in southeast Arizona is 75,000 acres. George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Garmin. You're going to find some slow traffic westbound on the 10 between the 51 and 51st Avenue. And we find the brake lights showing on the Black Canyon northbound between the Durango Curve and Dunlap. And there is a collision on Beardsley west of 32nd Street. Garmin checks traffic over 2 billion times a month to keep you moving. Available on select Garmin GPS with 100% subscription-free traffic. For more info, visit Garmin.com. That's Garmin.com.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. It looks like we're bringing in the month of June right about normal, right around that century mark. We're going to be a little cooler tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy down here, even windy up north with the passage of another one of those fronts, 96 for the valley high. But then Friday into the weekend, we're back near 100. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 92 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX. News Talk Radio, 1100.
Rolando's Mexican Food reminds everyone that each year 186,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer. Know the many risk factors and get answers about breast cancer. Call 1-800-221-2141, 800-221-2141 for information on prevention and treatment. This community reminder was a courtesy of Rolando's Mexican Food. Stop by one of their two convenient locations for the biggest and best burritos, steak, chicken, beef, pork, and more. That's Rolando's Mexican Food in Tolleson and Phoenix.
First option lending, the people you call first.
Are you in double trouble? Do you have a first and a second mortgage that totals slightly more than your home is worth? Have you been turned down by banks and mortgage companies that simply can't help? First Option Lending can help. We've even helped people who were told by others to just walk away from their home. Nonsense. If you're upside down in your primary home but have a steady job and pay your mortgage on time, call today, because this opportunity and these record low rates may soon be gone. We can get you out of double trouble, because double trouble is no trouble at First Option Lending. First Option Lending, 480-751-3400. 751-3400.
First Option Lending.
480-751-3400.
License 19017.
Get Wealthy Arizona every Monday at 4 p.m. Learn how to eliminate market risk from your retirement accounts by listening to Get Wealthy Arizona, brought to you by EquityForProfit.com. Get Wealthy Arizona every Monday at 4 p.m.
Take part in the national conversation. Tune in to the Lou Dobbs Show. Weekdays at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Wolinchek, and we're here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5. This week we're talking about the employer sanctions law and the recent Supreme Court case that basically upheld it and the ramifications. With us is Representative Jack Kavanaugh. And we have Marianne Ginnemer from the Public Affairs Department of the U.S. Citizens Immigration Services discuss E-Verify. We have Garrick Taylor in studio from the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. And joining us will be shortly, if not momentarily, Dee Dee Garcia, who is from Somos Republicans. Let me just, before we move on, let me talk about E-Verify just for a minute so our listeners understand what the issue here is. As I understand it, E-Verify is an internet-based system that allows businesses to determine the eligibility of employees to work in the United States. It's supposed to be a fast, free, and easy-to-use system, and the best way employers can ensure a legal workforce. Basically, as I understand it, if employers utilize this E-Verify system, they are essentially exempt from prosecution and have a defense to any claim that they hired someone that was illegal. The questions we've just been discussing are how accurate this system is, how foolproof the system is in terms of any shortcomings with it. And E-Verify allows employers, as I say, to use this online program to run a workers' information against the Homeland Security and Social Security databases, and now Marianne is telling us apparently other databases that are being added as well as we speak. In 2010, about 8.5 million inquiries were run through this system. And in 2008, Arizona became the first state in the nation to require all employers to use E-Verify. Today, more than 33,000 Arizona businesses have signed up for this program, the highest number of any state. And 11 other states now require at least some, if not all, businesses to use E-Verify. The program is voluntary in other states. About 188,000 businesses out of about 7 million have signed up to use E-Verify nationwide. Some members of Congress are pushing to make it mandatory nationwide. A recent study indicates that illegal workers are slipping through E-Verify more than half the time by using stolen identities, which we'll be discussing. Bill Wright, a spokesman for the Citizen and Immigration Service in Washington, acknowledged that the system does have problems screening out those using stolen identities, and the federal government wants to incorporate state driver's license databases, which apparently, according to Mariana here on the phone with us, is being done now. Last November, the Arizona Fraudulent Identification Task Force was eliminated due to budget cuts. Representative Kavanaugh, what was the Arizona Fraudulent Identification Task Force exactly? Do you know?
Sounds like something we might have funded through with GITM money. No doubt a collection of various law enforcement agencies, but I'm not 100% sure.
All right, let me ask you before we turn to our other guests. If this was such a big problem, okay, this whole issue that we're talking about today, and requiring employers to verify identity as one of the means to restrict immigration of illegals, why hasn't it been prosecuted more? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, are you talking about the identity theft versus just handing them over to ICE?
Well, I guess just violations of whether employers are using it, including identity theft.
Yeah.
Why haven't there been more prosecutions, in your opinion?
I think two reasons. Number one, a lot of prosecutors aren't particularly interested in doing that. Maricopa County was a lot different, and they were more active. But I think the big reason is the lack of subpoena power creates a real prosecutorial nightmare to create a case. And, you know,
does this law serve a useful purpose then if there's no subpoena power attached, if there's no teeth to it?
Yeah, I think it is a major deterrent. The penalty is so severe, and the press has so greatly exaggerated the power and the destruction of all of our immigration laws. You know, the press and the opponents of 1070 and the employer sanctions law are our best allies. I mean,
right.
They've scared more people. They make it sound like we're a police state, when in reality, for some of these laws, it is rather difficult to prosecute.
Let me ask Marianne Ginnemer from the U.S. Citizen Immigration Services again. I take it from what I just read that your department is essentially working on a daily basis to ensure that there are no people that slip through this system. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we understand that identity theft is a problem, and it is a serious problem, and that's why we're making all these enhancements to the system so that we can minimize identity theft. But, you know, I just wanted to say real quick
here
that when we look at the whole system of E-Verify, over 98% of the queries that are run through E-Verify come back ready to work, no problem, within 24 hours or either immediately. So that, you know, it's the accuracy of the program continues to improve. And it's the best tool that we can offer employers to make sure that they are employing a legal workforce.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time, and it's been very enlightening for me and our guests as well, I'm sure, as well as the public. So thank you, Mariana,
sure.
for being with us.
Okay. Anytime. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's continue on now. Let me just ask Garrick Taylor and our other guests can comment on this. Is this a problem, really, for businesses coming to Arizona? I asked you a little bit of that earlier, but, I mean, how big an issue really is this in terms of deterring businesses? Do we have any way of gauging that?
Well, the law in its current form is probably not that big of a deterrent. I would say to businesses, though, that are looking at coming to Arizona, that they're coming into a legislative environment where you have a legislature that's interested in wading into the issue of immigration on a state level. And that could mean that the laws that they operate under to verify worker eligibility could change. As I said at the outset, we don't think this is a huge burden on Arizona employers right now, but you got to understand that Arizona has different hiring laws than 49 other states across the country. And so you have to come into the state eyes wide open. Now, with that said, if you want to come into the state...
Of course, that's true of every other state, I guess.
Well, look, if you want to come into the state and join the Chamber of Commerce, we're more than happy to sign you up for one of our E-Verify webinars, and we can help you navigate the legal...
Well, let's
Arizona
talk about that very quickly. What do businesses do to number one, understand how to navigate the shoals of this law?
Well, I think that's where the Department of Homeland Security has stepped up. They offer webinars and training employers how to use the system. Even at the Maricopa County Attorney level, that office has been very welcoming to businesses, holding roundtables and talking about how it's going to be implemented at a county level. You have, as Representative Kavanaugh alluded to, you have different prosecutors in different counties who are going to approach this law in different ways. So to the extent that business communities in each county can have an open dialogue with their local county prosecutor as to how this law will be implemented in their county, that's all the better.
All right. Let's be clear. Do we have Dee Dee Garcia with us?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because we're getting some feedback from somebody. So whoever that is, if you could try to minimize it. Let me ask you this. This law, and you can all comment on this, this law, does it apply to every business? Are there exemptions for professionals, for example? I mean, who is subject to this law? Anybody want to comment?
It applies to everybody. Whatever Arizona determines, it's my understanding that the state determines where we're going to go with E-Verify. I think that it's going to hurt people in the agricultural community the most. And those are the jobs, let's be frank, that Americans are not willing to work. They're not willing to work out in 100-degree weather picking lettuce. And unfortunately, this is going to be a continued economic disaster.
All right. Let me stop you for a second because we just have a brief time. We'll come back to that. Let me ask Representative Kavanaugh on the line with us. In terms of this law and who it applies to, Dee Dee makes a good point. Why does this apply to every business, or does it apply to every business? And
yes, it applies to every business, and it should, because nobody should break the law. I don't care if you're hiring a nuclear engineer or a farm worker, you don't break the law. And by applying it to everybody, aside from being a good idea, it also removes discrimination. But can I comment real quickly?
Yeah, we have just about 30 seconds to go for it.
Just in terms of businesses being deterred, if any business just looks at that, yeah, don't come to Arizona because you have to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
But every reason Blair de-verified not to come to Arizona, there are 100 reasons in other regulations not to go to California, New York, New Jersey, or any other of the big government states.
All right, Garrick, any quick comment on that?
We'd agree. We think this is the best place to do business, legal Arizona Workers Act or not.
All right. We'll be back after these brief messages. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and I look forward to talking with our guests shortly.
Hi, this is Dave from Safe and Save Pool Chemist. Are you using a floater? Stop wasting your money and harming your health. When using a floater, the chlorine is concentrated at the top few inches of pool water, right where your face is. Chlorine fumes are harming your lungs and wreaking havoc on your hair, skin, and eyes. So what is the solution? The patented sunken treasure from Safe and Save Pool Chemist. This ingenious device uses the same chlorine tablets you use in a floater, yet when you put a tablet in, it sinks to the bottom, completely sanitizing your pool from the bottom up. When the tablet is completely dissolved, the sunken treasure floats to the top, letting you know it is ready for a refill. Just one tab in a sunken treasure does a much better job at chlorinating your pool and is healthier for your family than 3 to 5 tabs in a floater. Best of all, sunken treasure only costs $20 and it will even last up to 10 times longer than a floater. Call Safe and Save Pool Chemist, 480-610-9090. That's 480-610-9090. Or visit the website at safeandsavepoolchemist.com. That's safe, the letter N, savepoolchemist.com.
Picture a small, premature baby coming out of surgery and calming within a few minutes after listening to beautiful harp music. Less pain medication is needed, and the baby is able to get home sooner. The Harp Foundation provides therapeutic harp music for the essential healing, comfort, and well-being of individuals in crisis or with special needs from pre-birth to the end of life. That's what the Harp Foundation does in our various hospitals, hospice, school, and outreach programs. To find out more, visit our website at theharpfoundation.org.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I know. This is Dennis Wolinchek, and we're back on Legalese. every Wednesday from 4 to 5. And this week we've been talking about employer sanctions law and the recent Supreme Court case that upheld it with Representative Jack Kavanaugh. We talked with Marianne Gittimer of the Public Affairs Department of the U.S. Citizen Immigration Services. And we've got Garrick Taylor in studio from the Chamber of Commerce and Dee Dee Garcia from Somos Republicans. Let me come back to you, Dee Dee. I didn't mean to cut you off earlier, but let me ask you, is there a concern here that employers will profile people and possibly avoid hiring someone they think may be illegal because it's too much hassle to deal with this law? Is that a concern?
Do I think that employers will racially profile?
Well, is that a concern that you have?
No, I don't think that they're going to racially profile anybody. I know that the state of Florida, which is a very Republican state right now, rejected state legislation when Senator Anita de Flores tried to implement the E-Verify legislation. John Kavanaugh made the statement that typically the blue states embrace large government, but Florida is a key state, Republican state, that rejected E-Verify. And I just think that it deters employers from seeking employees who are willing to work for a competitive wage rate.
Let me be clear on this. You're from Somos Republicans, and does, well, for our listeners, what is Somos Republicans?
Somos stands for We Are Republicans. We are the largest Hispanic Republican group in the nation now. We grew out of crisis, and we are very immigrant-friendly, pro-growth, pro-business, pro-economic growth, and we perceive ourselves to be the real Republicans.
So let me ask this, the obvious question, and my other guest can comment on it, but you're obviously a Republican, as you say, and it seems like in this state, at least, the Republicans are pretty much for these immigration restrictions or laws that would restrict immigration. You're saying in the same breath that you're for immigration and for business. How do you see that working?
Well, I'm actually considering switching my party affiliation to the Independent Party because of this state, because of the AZGOP. I think it's very embarrassing that we have these restrictionist and isolationist views coming from State Senator Russell Pierce and John Kavanaugh. I mean, they're very Dixiecrat-minded, and they don't seem to really understand what capitalism and free market thinking is all about.
All right, Representative Kavanaugh.
Implementing more bureaucracy. This is a bureaucratic method here. They're adding another level of bureaucracy onto the employer, and they're already burdened enough as it is, finding labor and finding good people to work.
All right, but there are laws, obviously, that have to be enforced. So, Representative Kavanaugh, let me give you an opportunity to respond to that.
Yeah, two quick things. First, the suggestion that we're embarrassing Arizona with SB 1070 and the employer sanctions law is ridiculous. I mean, poll after poll shows that the support levels for these legislation are in the area of 60, 70, 80% nationwide. The only people who are upset are people who want to turn the other way while illegals work, or media elites or celebrities, you know, Jon Stewart. But the overwhelming majority of Americans like these laws. They think they're necessary. So we're not embarrassing anybody. Let's talk about that.
Let's just get right to the point with the time we have left. Why is it necessary? Why don't you tell us, and then I'll turn to Dee Dee. I mean, she's saying it's not necessary and that, you know, it's actually harming us more than helping us. So why do you think it's necessary? What do you cite for that?
Because unsecured border plus easy access to work equals being overrun with illegal immigrants, which is against the law, depresses American wages, takes American jobs, and is very unjust to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of foreigners all over the world who are on waiting lists to come here who aren't jumping the line.
All right. Let me turn to Dee Dee on this. Why isn't Representative Kavanaugh correct on this in the sense that we have laws that are there on the books? People have a way to get into the country legally. How do you justify in any way someone who's not here legally? I'm not quite clear on that. So why don't you try to enlighten us?
Well, obviously the system is broken. We're for legal immigration reform. There's a bottleneck situation. Business owners rely on competitive labor rates. Now, John Kavanaugh and Russell Pierce are for increasing the labor rate.
Just let me be clear on what your position is.
And that's a socialist
Hold on. Let me understand your position then. So what you're saying is, if I understand you correctly, and I'm not being critical, what you're saying is you're not opposed to reasonable laws and restrictions on illegal people just flooding our borders. That do I get that part right so far? You're saying that it has to be done in a national way. Is that fair?
We have to be realistic about fixing this system. We have to be realistic about how the immigrant and the competitive labor rate can benefit Americans.
But if the problem is, and I think this is one of the problems here, that the national government is not moving quickly enough to solve this problem, that's the big criticism, obviously. Then,
well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Grassroots movement, and that's what we're here to provide.
Well, but isn't that what the legislature in Arizona is trying to do?
No, I really think that these laws are designed and embraced by people who embrace bigotry. Senator Russell Pierce is on the record. Senator Russell Pierce is on the record for welcoming Operation Wetback. It doesn't get more bigoted than that.
Well, that's a pretty harsh thing to accuse people of. Representative Kavanaugh, I'll give you a chance to rebut that.
Well, I'm not going to discuss that. I mean, you know, she alluded to racism with the Dixiecrat. I mean, rather than argue the law, the right way to do it, you know, she wants to start name-calling. So I'm not going down that
right.
path. But let me say this. We have 9% unemployment in this country, in Arizona, higher elsewhere. The last thing we need are illegal immigrants crossing the border and taking those jobs.
All right, let me ask
please. That's not fair. 40% of the lettuce did not get picked in Yuma. The jobs are there.
Yuma has a very
successful program. Why don't we get people off unemployment
and
get them to pick lettuce right now?
They have a successful guest worker program which lets legal workers come and go and not illegal workers come
negative, in. Negative, John. Negative. 40% of the lettuce did not get picked, and the crops were left to be destroyed. So the jobs are there. Let's get Americans here in Arizona to work the field.
All right.
We don't
quite frankly,
America
they don't want to work
county.
The menial
we
wages that a lot of these immigrants are working.
All right. Well, let me see if I can change the focus of this discussion a little bit before we go. As I understand it, Colorado, Mississippi, and Pennsylvania are working on their own versions of a law similar to the one that we have here, and maybe other states are as well. So we've got a patchwork of systems going on here. And let me ask each of you, starting with Garrick, can the United States function under 50 variable immigration and employment laws? Is that realistic?
Well, it's not ideal, though, that's for sure. And if you have members of Congress and administration who are lamenting the fact that you have this patchwork of different worker verification immigration laws popping up around the country, then that would hopefully spur them to action. Now, I don't see a great appetite in Washington to really delve into serious immigration reform and a debate that includes border security, overhauling the visa system, dealing with workplace verification, and all those elements that go into the immigration system. But if you have people in Washington who are looking at the landscape of American states and wondering where this patchwork came from, well, they can point the finger at themselves.
Well, I don't see a patchwork. I see one nationwide I-9 document verification system run by the federal government, and I see one E-Verify system, also run by the federal government, which just happens to be voluntary. I don't see a
Are we for state or federal? Because it's my understanding that the Supreme Court upheld the states to promote their own version of the E-Verify system, and it sounds like John Kavanaugh is promoting a federal standpoint.
There's nothing about the states doing their own program. That's not true.
Well, it just upheld the Arizona.
Upheld
it upheld, as I understand it, the Arizona law because of the licensing carve-out. That's pretty much as I see the bulk of the case.
It gives states rights to implement their E-Verify program.
I don't know that it did that.
It's the federal E-Verify program that people have to use. There is no state E-Verify program.
Arizona's E-Verify is not federal. It's a state.
Arizona does not have an E-Verify program. It's a state program that we tell employees they have to use.
Let me read.
The state program was upheld by the Supreme Court.
No, the
it's
state
not,
law
is not a federal program.
To use the federal program was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Okay, well, we have about 2 minutes left. Let me just read a statement from Somos Republicans about this ruling. It said that. A statement issued said, under the ruling, the federal government no longer needs to create a federal E-Verify mandatory program because states have the right to pass this law if they see it fit to their economic benefits or political motivations. Congressman Lamar Smith does not have to seek passing a mandatory federal E-Verify that has been already granted to states by the Supreme Court ruling. Let me just turn to the Congressman Kavanaugh, that was the Somos Republican statement. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I think they're schizophrenic. I mean, 2 minutes ago they were claiming it's bad to have a patchwork, and now they're saying don't have a uniform federal requirement.
Yeah, what's your position on that, Dee Dee?
What did he accuse me of?
Well, he didn't accuse you of anything, but what he was saying was is that your statements are a little bit inconsistent from the statement issued by your Somos Republicans.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not because the immigration, the SB 1070, was rejected by 3 Supreme Court justices in California. Now, under the Supremacy Clause, that immigration law should be given to the federal government. I get that. But the Supreme Court, with regard to the e-verification program, upheld the state's decision.
All right. Well, we have to wrap it up.
We're leaving it to the state.
We have to wrap it up, and I'm sorry, but it's been very interesting, and I want to thank all of you for weighing in on this topic of the employer sanctions law. We'll be back next Wednesday on Legal East to discuss other interesting topics. We've been discussing Whiting versus Chamber of Commerce. So thank you all, my guests, Dee Dee Garcia, Garrick Taylor, and Representative Jack Kavanaugh, and Marion Gittimer from the Citizens Immigration Services. We'll see you next week.
Guys, I want to talk to you about engagement rings. Why is it that most of you are on the I Wanted To program? Last week, my fiancé said he wanted to clean the dishes for me, but instead left them in the sink the entire week while I was out of town. Or last year, when he wanted to take me to my favorite restaurant for Valentine's Day, but didn't, as we ended up eating meatloaf at his mother's house. So when he told my sister he wanted to buy me an engagement ring, she told him he'd better go to London Gold unless he wanted to hear the words no. Guys, this is great advice, as we don't want some overpriced run-of-the-mill ring from a corporate jewelry chain store. We want an original, unique, one-of-a-kind ring. And London Gold is the only place in the valley where you're going to find that. So stop wanting to get the perfect ring and do it today at London Gold. Now with 3 valley locations, Scottsdale, Chandler, and Glendale.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100. Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.